excited this morning. Like I told you, Betty is my wife. Can you stand up, please? Yeah. We've been married for the last 28 years, consecutive years. And yes, there's no break in between. We've been together for 28 years. And where's Pearl? Oh, okay, Pearl and Precious, stand up, please. Yeah, those are my daughters. I have 6 children. The rest are back in Africa. I bless the Lord this morning, and we are going to share in the Word of God. Do I have my slides on? All right. The title of my sharing this morning is the Holy Spirit as a mark of ownership, as a seal of redemption, and as a deposit guarantee. I want to thank God for the good illustration that the pastor made here. It was so perfect. It was so perfect for the kids and for us as well. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our main text is, the pastor mentioned my name. I'm called Frederick Sebwato, but many people prefer calling me Fred, and I don't mind. Hallelujah. Our main text is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Hallelujah. Verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We already had a series of teachings about the Holy Spirit. Pastor Matt took us through living in the Spirit, and then Geoffrey took us through outpouring of the Spirit, Christine, the fellowship of the Spirit. Pastor Matt again took us the promise of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, it was the gift of prophecy, and that was awesome. Hallelujah. We still have a lot to share concerning the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, according to scriptures, you can't exhaustively understand the Holy Spirit through sermons or reading books or that, but it is through the experiential knowledge, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. As you keep on fellowshipping with him, you get to understand him more and more. But as we preach, as we write, we click on the start to get you started. Hallelujah. So you just need to understand this, that in order to get to know the Holy Spirit deeper, you need to fellowship with him, even as you read scriptures, even as you listen to sermons. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me have my introduction. Introduction, it is the Holy Spirit that gives out gifts to men, to different people, these spiritual gifts. And then the Spirit later ministers to the body of Christ using the bearers of the gifts. Hallelujah. It should be remembered that these gifts are not given to individuals as personal possessions, but they are given out to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So we should not boast about being able to do this or to do that, but we should just thank God who gives out gifts to men. And I believe everyone in church has a gifting from God. Hallelujah. Some teacher was teaching us about giftings from God, and he mentioned a good smile. That someone is gifted with a good smile, that when he sits on the door there, to receive people who are coming in, just by smiling to them, they feel like relieved, they feel loved, they feel welcome, just by a smile. Because some people are called to do ushering, and he's gifted. I mean, there's so many gifts. Everyone that sits in church has a gift from God. You just need to discover yourself. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, as the Holy Spirit ministers to the body of Christ through the gift bearers, he has some other roles to play. He ministers to you inside you. As the Spirit indwells you, there are some roles he plays. Praise the name of the Lord. That is what basically we are going to look at. I'm not going to share gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to talk of the indwelling Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. Slide. Now the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer as the mark of ownership. When we accept Christ, according to our text, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, part B, it says, having believed, when you believed, you were marked in him. When you believe Christ as your Savior, he marks you off. We are his purchased possessions. And he marks us off. Hallelujah. Like you can mark your something, especially the things we have in common. Where I work, we are not allowed to take water or any fluids at our stations where we work. But they give us bottles, sealed bottles, such that you can take some water to drink when you feel like thirst or that. But they look the same. They're the same type. Me, I marked mine. I wrote on my name. And I've seen people writing on their names. That is a mark of ownership. No one can take mine, though they all look the same. Hallelujah. So when we get saved, Christ marks us as his own. We are marked in Christ. And the marking is done with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells in you as a mark upon you. You see, many institutions or denominations, they refer to themselves as church. Church, church, church. We've seen churches, haven't we? But the true church referred to in the scriptures is the blood-washed church, the bride of Christ, the same church that Christ is coming back for. And it is marked. Hallelujah. It is marked. Not everyone that calls me Christ, that calls me Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Let us have a scripture reference in 2 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. I would have some of you read the scriptures. I quote them out. If anyone wants, you can read 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Someone reading? I don't want to do it all myself. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22.
Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. 21 and 22?
Yes. Okay. 1 and 22. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership. And then he put his spirit in us as a guarantee. Again, I want to thank the pastor for the illustration. It was so perfect. I liked it. Hallelujah. And I know those young people there are waiting anxiously. Praise the name of the Lord. So Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Hallelujah. So you will find many people out there. They sing the same songs we sing. They read the same Bible we read. And they claim we are Christians. Praise the name of the Lord. But Christ knows his own. And he has already marked them off. I lost an uncle, a brother to my sister. And I was away on a mission. I did not attend the burial. So when I came back from the mission, I went to see my aunt to encourage her. Like, she lost her brother. And you know what she told me? Oh, people gave him heaven. People gave him heaven. They spoke good about him. They gave him heaven. I think referring to that scripture in Acts, where they spoke well about Tabitha. Dorcas, praise the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not about what they talk about you when you die. It doesn't happen on the day or on your memorial service, what the pastor says or what the reverend or the father says doesn't make your destination. No, it is about the fact that you believed Christ and you were marked out with the Holy Spirit. However much people talk good things about you, it changes nothing. What changes is done now when you are still alive. The scripture said that having believed, you were also included in Christ. Not because you attend a born-again church. No. There's a common saying in Africa that sleeping in a car garage does not make you a car. No. No. You can make your bed in a car garage, but you sleep there for years, but it doesn't make you a car. So coming to a born-again church and fellowshipping with born-again people, or having some born-again members of your family, like your father is born again, or your wife, or your children, it doesn't make you born again. You were included in Christ when you heard the gospel of truth, or the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, that is your part now. Having believed, you were marked off. Hallelujah. And that makes you a child of God. And that makes it, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside you. In our boarding schools, I'm sorry, that is how I am wired. I'll be referring so much to Africa because I've been there for the last 56 years. No, 57, because it's coming to 1 year. I came here when I'm 57. For the last 57, I was in Africa, and that is what I know. So I'll be referring to Africa so much in my talk. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have schools, and some of them are boarding schools. Like, you send your child to school, and your child has to stay there through the term and come back for holidays. Now, there's a tendency of stealing. The child will claim, "No, this is mine, this is mine. No, it's not yours." So we are advised to mark all the property, everything from the tooth, the toothbrush, to the fork, the plate, the shoes, everything. Sometimes we use sharp things like a nail. I would put a wire in hot coals and could write maybe on shoes. And then I bought, for those of you that know this electronic gun that used the soldering gun. So I bought it and I put it in electricity. It burns and I write on them. That mark I'm marking, it's a mark of ownership. So the child will stand and say, these are my initials. I'm called Sebato Patrick and this is SP. It belongs to me. And the teachers will come in and eventually he will get back his property. The same way we are marked in Christ. And if you want to get marked in Christ, you have to believe Christ. You have to take him in as your personal Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer as a mark of ownership. So God is so wise, isn't he? Christian life is totally dependent on the Spirit. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us slide to the next. I call it a point, point number two. The Holy Spirit in the life of a believer as a seal of redemption. When you believed, you are marked off with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now the action is marking. The action taken is marking, but with a seal. Now we want to look at the seal itself. The Bible says, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now this time around, the Holy Spirit is indwelling us as a seal. Sealed off. No one should tamper with us. Hallelujah. You receive, or maybe you go to a shop, you buy a bottle of water, and the seal is broken. Will you accept it? Will you drink that water? It means it could be contaminated. Someone might have drunk some good water and filled it with. Like, you can't trust it. It's not trustable. So when you get saved, you are marked off and then sealed. Hallelujah. There's a redemption I want to talk about, and that is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It takes summons, not even a single summon, to talk of the day of redemption, but you've ever heard of the rapture, rapturing of the church, the claiming of the saints, that one time we will be lifted up and go to be with the Lord. That is the time we are going to be redeemed. Yes. The Bible says that this mortal body will put on immortality. Hallelujah. This immortal body, praise the name of the Lord. Even the dead who died in Christ Jesus will be redeemed from corruption. Hallelujah. So we should not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom we were sealed. Yes. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit himself. Now the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer as a seal. Seals literally are used for many things. They are used by companies like to authenticate documents, like assurance that something delivered to you is not tampered with, and that is what the Lord does. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Hallelujah. Like we said, we have a lot to talk about the Holy Spirit. But this time he is in you. You are sealed up. Now, when Christ comes in the air, the Bible says he will rapture us, the dead first, and then us who are not dead, we shall be transformed and go to meet with the dead in the clouds, and then continue to meet the Lord in air and go to be with him. If you are caught with a broken seal, the Bible has said, sealed for the day of redemption. So what happens when you are caught with a broken seal? Hallelujah. That is another big topic that we cannot discuss now. But what I know, we should never grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit as a person, he is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Sin. When you don't walk straight with the Lord, the Holy Spirit is grieved. Disobedience. It's the Holy Spirit talks to us. When you don't respond, like, that is disobeying the Holy Spirit. He's not happy with that. One time I was traveling to the north of Uganda. It's a journey of around 6 to 7 hours in a bus. Now we got aboard. The bus conductor stood and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm called James, and the driver is Patrick. We also have the tanny man, the one that is to give aid, like we usually call them tanny men in Africa. He is, maybe let me put a name, Andrew." And then he said, "Can we have a volunteer to pray before we leave?" And I practically heard the Holy Spirit inspiring me to stand and give a prayer. But I hesitated. In other words, I disobeyed. I was hesitant to stand. And someone stood. You know how he began the prayer? I don't know the language, but I know it is Arabic. He started, "Bismillah, ilahim, that thing." I said, "Oh no. I should have stood up and prayed." He started doing the praying, but it was in Arabic. And then I said, "I'll add on." The moment he stopped, I stood up and said, "And Lord Father, we continue to thank you." The whole bus was saying, "Yes, Lord. We thank you for this journey, Lord." People were saying, "In the name of Jesus." And I said, "Oh, all these people disobeyed the Holy Spirit. They must have heard it." And then I prayed and I concluded, "And we pray and believe in the name of Jesus." And everyone was said, responded, "Amen." And there was a big hand clap. Praise the name of the Lord. That means disobeying the Holy Spirit grieves him. Hallelujah. Let us go to the other slide. Number three, it says, hey, by the way, repentance can mend the seal. Yes. If you feel like you've not been walking right with Christ or been disobedient or that kind of stuff, mending the seal takes repentance. When we repent, the Bible says when we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. Hallelujah. So you can mend your seal through repentance. Number three, the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Holy Spirit now is playing another role in your life, in my life, in the life of a believer. He is in there as a deposit. One time, a new convert came to me and asked me that I'm not yet baptized in the Spirit. So that means I don't have the Holy Spirit in me. I told him, no. The moment you accepted Christ, a deposit was put in you. You have the Holy Spirit. Yes. You just need to get filled up. Yes. You just need to be soaked in, as the word baptism means, soaking, dipping. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. So if you are here and you've never gone through the experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit with maybe evidence of speaking in tongues, don't mind. Don't fear. You will be baptized. But you already have the Holy Spirit in you. You're already marked. Hallelujah. So when the Spirit of God comes in you, he guarantees your inheritance, ensures your salvation and eternal life. And his presence in us authenticates our relationship with the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, or 1 Corinthians, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? It is God's temple, isn't it? Your body is God's temple and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. When the Spirit of God is in you, God is with you. Hallelujah. God is in you. So he is giving us a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. Praise the name of the Lord. As a deposit in us, he empowers us. He empowers our work through the gifts and the anointing. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, according to his power that is at work within us. His power is in us, but it's not just there. It is at work. There's some work being done in you by the indwelling Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When I arrived here in the UK, they told me that I need to be so close to my phone. My phone should be a very close friend of mine. Whenever I would walk out, I could not find my way back. The streets look the same. The buildings look the same. So if you go across the first street, go second, third, I could not find my way back. Like I was tempted to knock on doors, but every door was looking like our door. Praise the name of the Lord. But then they told me, no, you use your phone. So I used my phone. My phone, I always had to make sure my phone is charged and it was always close to me. So I would use the sat nav. Amazingly, it could even speak to me. I could walk and say, in 4 yards, turn left. Praise the name of the Lord. So I could go anywhere. I could go to the supermarket. I could walk around as long as I had my phone on me. The same applies to us. We need the Holy Spirit. In the spiritual realm, that is a different world. We don't understand what it is. Sometimes we don't know the way out, but the Holy Spirit will always speak to us and guide us. Just as we need our phones on us, we also need the Holy Spirit on us. Always have your phone charged in the same way. Always be charged with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So since we live by the Spirit, we should always keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, as I conclude, to sum it up all, if we are to overcome in this crazy world and receive that warm welcome, the welcome, good and faithful servant, we need that experience with the Holy Spirit. We need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He's within us. He does many things. This is just to mention a few. Hallelujah. And that reminds me, Paul's prayer to the Corinthian church. It is so common among us. We even have it, but we can say it off head. We already say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You see, God loved the world even before we accepted him. He loved us and sent his son. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, talks of Jesus in the book of John chapter 1. From the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word came God. When you go to chapter 14, it says, and he put on flesh and came and dwelt among us in the flesh, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Grace and truth. So Christ come with grace. Now the Holy Spirit demands fellowship. Hallelujah. We need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And it is my prayer that you create that strong bond, that strong relationship with the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. May the good Lord bless you. Hallelujah. But I would like to know, is there anybody in this congregation here that has never given his life to Christ? If you have never made that commitment, I accepted Christ on Sunday at 8 p.m. It was 15th of May, 1988. Wow. I remember all the details. So, if you want to accept Christ as your Savior, that you have yourself marked with the Holy Spirit, you can take advantage with a show of hand. If you are there and you want to give your life to Christ, please. Anyone that wants to give his life to Christ? And if not, may the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. There is a song I wanted to be sung at the close of the sermon. May I invite the worship team, please? Yeah.